Welcome, everybody, to this episode of O365A. On today's episode, we're going to talk about what's new in Teams organization collaboration, and we're going to discuss that with our special guest today, Guillaume Mia. Guillaume is a Microsoft MVP and the co-founder of a company called Enbold, which helps organizations with Teams collaboration. So with that, Guillaume, welcome. Nice to have you on the episode. And why don't you just do a quick intro to yourself and Enbold for our viewers?
Well, thanks a lot for the intro. Glad to be there. So as you mentioned, I'm an MVP for 10 years now. 10 years in a row, yeah. That's how I've lost my hair. That's quite a long journey. I restarted my career around SharePoint mostly in 2001. So I'm quite old right now. And as part of my career, I'm an entrepreneur. So I started several companies in this Microsoft ecosystem, some around software, consulting, expertise. And as you mentioned, the last one is Enbold, which is a startup that is focused on collaboration process around Microsoft Teams. Maybe I'm going to explain later, maybe a little more in details, what I mean by collaboration process. But just to maybe give you an idea of the journey we had with Enbold, we started this journey more than four years ago. So with the first release of Microsoft Teams, actually when it was in alpha and was not even called Microsoft Teams, I think it was called Skype something. Whatever.
Aces or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we really started with some key features to help IT pros handle the mess that Microsoft Teams could be if there's no governance, just to say it in one sentence. So basically, we started this journey with how can we help organization create templates for their collaboration process? And at the beginning, we had a lot of quite generic process, such as project management and so on. And so we've built these provisioning capabilities that basically for end users in one click, they can select a template and the entire provisioning process is automated, namely creating a team, inviting the right people in it, applying the right sensitivity labels, creating channels, creating tabs, installing applications, provisioning content, such as Planner, OneNote. Everything is really packaged into one template for Microsoft Teams. So that was the core of our product. And if we want to think of how collaboration evolved, we started with this feature and we quickly realized that most of the teams that were created were actually linked to informations that were not inside Microsoft Teams. Let me give you an example. So a lot of teams were created around pre-sales process or things that were related to the CRM. Also, a lot of teams are created as part of to manage project content, conversations, and so on. But most of the organizations, especially the largest one, they have project management tools that are not inside Microsoft Teams. Could be Trello, could be a project server, could be whatever you want. And so we quickly realized that creating team templates was one thing, but actually these teams should be managed by an external system, such as the CRM. So that's how we evolved the product to being a provisioning process on demand to something that is really managed by system of record, such as ERP, CRM, and so on. And the key example I can give to illustrate that is, let's say you create a new opportunity, let's say you're using Salesforce as a CRM, and you're creating a new opportunity. It's gonna be a large one, and this pre-sales process is going to involve a lot of people in your company. So when you create this opportunity in Salesforce, we're going to automatically create a specific team in Microsoft Teams to handle this specific process. And this team is going to be something like a deal room where you can automatically invite all the salespeople mentioned in the CRM, but also invite maybe the legal team to review the contracts, maybe invite experts to work on the pricing and so on. So basically, we're linking external systems to Microsoft Teams. And this extends to the whole life cycle of this opportunity. So when you create the opportunity, the team is going to be created. But when the opportunity is closed, let's say you won, we're going to automatically archive the team. So basically, it means that for IT pros now, something like 80% of their teams are completely on autopilot. And the governance of these teams is actually handled by business owners, people using the CRM, project management systems, and so on. And what we try to do, and I'm going to finish on this, is not to recreate something you could try to build yourself with Power Automate or whatever, because you can imagine trying to build this kind of process with Power Automate or other automation platforms. But what we did, we created off-the-shelf process automation. So we have one automation for deal room for Salesforce. We have one automation, which is key account management for HubSpot. And everything is pre-packed. And you just have to select some options, how you want to handle this process, and everything's automated. That's basically the core of what we're doing. Aside from this, as you can imagine, there's some more technical aspects to the product for analytics, for lifecycle, and so on. But I would say that we really followed this evolution, which is Teams is not just to chat. It's really to implement the collaboration process in an organization.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think you just answered my first question. But let me play that back and see if it makes sense. Because why I was really interested to get you on the podcast is I remember meeting you 5 years ago, I think, at Microsoft MVP Summit for the first time. And at that point, Microsoft Teams was newly released. It was just starting to gain traction in the organizations. Fortune 500, Fortune 1000. And at that time, the real challenge for these organizations was deploying it, getting it adopted, controlling the sprawl of Teams. And you had a product, which were the provisioning templates, which did all the fantastic things you had mentioned. And, you know, I'm interested to hear from you how the world's changed in the last 5 years, given that we now have over 270 million monthly active users in Teams, adoption is widespread. And I think what you said, and maybe you can just add some color commentary to this, is what you found is it's not necessarily about the life cycle of a team, but it's about the life cycle of the work that happens around a team, including the external systems. That involved that collaboration. Does that sort of summarize it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what really changed with this widespread adoption of Teams. People also, we try to avoid having people to do manual operations. We don't want them to think, okay, I got a pre-sale process in my organization. How am I going to translate that to Teams and manage that and handle the life cycle? So also to drive adoption, it was quite an interesting driver because it means that people are just working in their regular system of record, Salesforce, for instance, HubSpot, Dynamics CRM, and everything happened automatically in Teams. So we're also driving adoption because they don't have to think about Teams. They're invited automatically to a team because it belongs to a specific process. And that's true also for when you're bringing people not from the sales team in this context, because we are automatically, as part of this process, inviting, as I mentioned, people from the legal team, the right person for the right process. So they don't really have to think about it. In many ways, we can think of Enbold as an invisible app. Everything happens automatically based on the process you defined. We try not to be one new app that you add to your app catalog. You already have hundreds of apps. So, everything is invisible and happening automatically based on the process you defined.
Okay, cool. And one more quick question. How have organizations responded to that, to your new lifecycle approach, basically?
Yeah, so it really depends on the maturity of these organizations. Some of them, the first challenge was they were trying to address was to cope with, okay, I opened Teams during COVID. I have 70,000 Teams now. I don't know which one I used or not. Many Teams are completely orphans with no admins. So mostly an IT pro challenge to manage the environment. But the thing is, so it means that we have two kinds of customers. The first one is really about, is really about governance from an IT pro perspective. And the second one are really driven by people that are owning the sales process organization or other kind of processes in the company. So we're dealing with both IT pros and business users.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that's quite a challenge, quite an interesting journey.
So I wanted to sort of pivot to sort of that automatic stuff that you were talking about, and mm-hmm. more in the sense of, you know, where do you feel that the roles of like AI will play like an organizational collaboration, right? So like you're talking about that whole automated process and all the stuff sort of invisible, like will we have some AI integrations with that moving forward?
Well, I think AI naturally is going to fill some gaps for very specific scenarios. To really leverage AI, you need to understand the business context. So if you look at Microsoft, I think what they're doing with Dynamics right now is really interesting. So I think most of the real world AI scenarios inside Teams are going to actually come from these external systems. So of course, there's some AI capabilities that are part of Microsoft Teams Premium, for instance, you know, for summarizing meetings, this kind of very interesting features. But it's going to still be generic features. And I think the real business-oriented AI features are going to come from these external systems. So I think we are really at the right spot right now, because we will be able to leverage these AI capabilities coming from system of record, CRMs, and so on, and make them available right inside Teams. So there's really two approaches in AI. There's the generic one, like Microsoft is doing with Teams Premium, and the vertical one coming from external systems.
And will you do like any type of enhancement to like what Microsoft is doing?
Yes. So one of the, okay, I don't want to unveil too much from our roadmap.
Yeah.
but that's fine. I think more and more Teams is going to be one central location to interact with records, whatever they are, or data, wherever they are. So especially with all the integrations we're bringing, we're starting to have customers that have inside Teams their opportunities, their contact from the CRM, their tasks from tickets from Jira or ServiceNow, all this data being accessible from Microsoft Teams. I think an interesting AI approach will be to be able to automatically connect all this data from disparate systems, such as, oh, there's a team that is integrated with ServiceNow. So from this team, I can see tickets. But also, this team is linked through Enbold to my CRM. So probably I can, using semantic analysis, create a graph of external data from all my external systems and make sense of them from Microsoft Teams. I think that's where we're going to play. We have a fantastic opportunity because we already connect all these systems and have access to this data. So it's still R&D and early stage for us. But yes, we're going to try to help end users cope with all this data from all these apps that they have, but that are right now completely isolated. And just to be clear about that, there's in many companies a lot of projects to create, you know, data lakes or aggregating all the data into one central location so that you can maybe build reports and so on. But I think our approach is different. We're taking it from a different angle. we are like dynamically connecting all these systems and creating a graph based on it. So it's probably not to build reports, but maybe to give the right information to the right person at the right time, such as I'm in Teams during a meeting with a customer, and we're going to be able to connect this customer with a specific CRM contact, to specific tickets, to projects that are related to him, basically bring a 365 view of what you're interacting with. That's where we're going to play with AI.
Great. Nice. So Guillaume, thinking about like the typical ARGs you deal with, how would they use NBOLT to build out workflows and maybe talk about some of the typical requirements that are necessary for them to get started?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because it's really the vision we had for the product. As I mentioned, you can imagine building kind of an automation platform that would in some way look like Power Automate. You would say, oh, I'm connecting to this system. If something happens, I'm going to do this. And if this, then I'm going to do that, and blah, blah, blah. That's definitely not what we are trying to do. There's great products to do that. And if my customers have the team, the skills, and the willingness to maintain these systems, I'm perfectly okay with that. Our approach was to package specific processes. So once again, just for sales, the sales department, we have key account management. Basically for each major account in your CRM, there's a team coming automatically with the right name. And when you update the account, you can see the updates in Teams and so on. We have another process for sales, which is deal room, when you have large opportunities that require that's kind of a project. Once again, we will be able to create either a team or a specific channel, but basically you click to integrate your CRM, you choose the process and just check a few boxes and you're good to go. We don't want to have something completely customizable. And the idea also behind this is that as we have many customers using these processes, we now understand most of the industry best practices for this process. So in many ways, when you think about the market back in the days with SAP, before SAP, when a company was trying to create a purchasing process, they were starting from scratch. But now SAP is coming with a purchasing process that is common for almost everybody, and everybody accepts it as the standard process for purchasing. What we're trying to achieve is something quite similar for collaboration process. So that's our vision. We try to create standards for processes. And if a customer really has something completely specific, well, what we're bringing to them, I mean, if they really don't fit with what we're bringing off the shelf, we have a very compelling API. They can use our API and our Power Automate connectors to build their own process.
Nice.
So, but that's I would say really quite an exception. Most of the time, I think the value we're bringing is, okay, here's the process, here's the best practice, try to fit with it. And if it doesn't fit, then we can have another conversation and start to talk about customization, APIs, and automation.
And, I mean, you mentioned SAP, but have you done integrations? Like what products are you supporting today?
Okay. Yeah. So as of today, we're supporting the major CRM systems, Salesforce, HubSpot, Dynamics. We are right now in beta for different other systems such as Oracle CRM and SAP. And we also have integrations for external project management tools such as Jira, Trello, and Miro. I don't know if you know, M-I-R-O, yep. Which is really cool. So we have a specific integration with them. And basically, when you create a new board in Miro, we can create a new team and integrate the Miro app inside this team automatically so that you have kind of a direct connection between these systems. So that's the same principle with Trello, for instance. If you create a new Trello board, it's going to create the team and embed the Trello app in the team automatically. So that's where we are today. We created a platform so that it's easy for us to expand to other systems. So we are discussing with several prospects right now for that are using other systems. Once again, will depend on where it's moving forward with them.
Nice. I think that's a perfect segue into my kind of question, talking about the architecture. Without giving out too much information, you're probably not, you know, a startup anymore, but, you know, building, you know, a software company, I'm not sure if you're offering just as a SaaS or you're offering enterprises to install it, but can you talk about from a high level how that the architecture for your services?
Well, first of all, as a principle, I think we're quite a transparent company since the beginning. Mostly because we think we're still a startup and we have to really win trust from our customers and prospects. And to me, trust is coming from transparency. So we are almost completely open about how we're doing, how we're operating the systems and the architecture and so on. Right now, the product is only available as a SaaS. But we have some large prospects. We're discussing with them for an on-premises option. What I mean on-premises could be also in their own Azure environment, but you know what I mean, not the SaaS product. So from an architecture perspective, the principles that guided the design were, first of all, 100% open source components, not being tied to any specific vendor. So just to name a few technologies we're using right now. So we're using Postgres for the database. It means that we can operate locally on the cloud using Azure Postgres, blah, blah, blah. So it's quite a generic service. And it also opens a lot of interesting options to build reports because Postgres has a large open source ecosystem for management, reporting, and so on. The entire application is built on Node.js, the front end using standard React and Next, actually Next.js. Yeah, so we're really based on only open source components. In a recent podcast with the Microsoft ecosystem, I gave more details about that. And we also document a lot of things. And probably we are thinking of releasing the on-premises version or self-hosted version. And as part of this release, we're going to release all the documentation from the architecture with all the different components. So it's going to be an interesting experience for us, especially because some prospects want to host the solution, they have to understand all the intricacies. Because right now it's quite a complex architecture. I mean, we started 4 years ago. We have we now have something like almost 1,000 organizations that have used the product. Many dozens of thousands of active users. So it could be quite a large infrastructure. I forgot to mention we're 100% on Azure, mostly for compliance reasons. So we're leveraging the Azure containers platform for that. That's how we achieve high scalability and resiliency.
And for the kind of provisioning process, is that all based on Graph? Are you using PowerShell? I know you mentioned the technical podcast with, I believe, Jeremy. We'll make sure to link it in the blog because it does go into a nice deep dive, but maybe you can talk about some of the workflow processes.
Yeah. So the product is really what I would call event-driven. So there's one platform that is emitting some events, whatever happens. And then we have things happening live, namely when a user is making a request specifically. And there's some processes that are completely asynchronous, such as the provisioning process. The provisioning process I mean, exclusively relies on Microsoft Graph. And we don't use any third-party components or PowerShell or whatever. We've built something that is completely self-contained using Node.js. And the reason why is mostly for testing. The thing is, the Microsoft Graph is a fantastic API, but it has some glitches. And the key aspect and the main challenge we were facing is actually how reliable the Microsoft Graph is. And the truth is, it's not very reliable as of today, especially for operations related to Microsoft Teams for various reasons. But we're doing something like 100,000 Microsoft Graph requests a day. So there should be some errors. Could be connectivity issues, could be bugs on the Microsoft Graph side, could be the Microsoft Graph has been updated without notice and it's not documented. It happened, and it happened in the past. So for all these reasons, we've built a client for the Microsoft Graph using Node.js that copes with all these resiliency issues. It copes with throttling, copes with connectivity issues, cope with false positives, and it includes automated tests. So basically, we're not only testing our own application, we're testing the Microsoft Graph. Because we have to, because we can't trust them blindly. And that's a big investment we've made. But as part of our test, we're doing real integration tests connected to Microsoft Graph. So yeah, that was interesting technical challenges here.
All right. Well, that's some fantastic insight, Guillaume. Really nice to have you on the podcast, and super interesting seeing how collaboration is evolving in Microsoft Teams and at an organizational level. So really appreciate your insights, and thank you very much for coming on.
You're very welcome, and hope to see you soon. Bye.
See you.